Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite characters growing up, apparently, was Winnie the Pooh. That's what my parents told me, and they said, you know, I'd watch Winnie the Pooh, and I'd want to watch it over and over and over again. You know, that wonderful, beloved, small, round, yellow bear with the little red shirt on. And often, what would you see with Winnie the Pooh? You'd often see a honey pot, and on the honey pot was spelled honey, H-U-N-N-Y, honey. And Winnie the Pooh seemed like he would get rumbly in his tumbly, and he'd want some honey. As you might remember, I'm so rumbly in my tumbly, time to munch an early luncheon, time for something sweet to eat. I know we've all been there before, and sometimes when we get hungry, our tummies get a little grumbly. Even when you don't want them to talk, they start talking, and you're like, oh, I think it's time to eat something. Unfortunately, what can happen is our tummies get grumbly. We also can get a little grumbly. Some of you remember the term hangry. It's a combination of hungry and angry. And sometimes we can get hangry, and we can get ornery and frustrated, and we can start grumbling to other people around us when we're hungry. And let's be fair, I think there are times when we get grumbly about other things besides food. And that can put us in a bad mood, and pretty soon we can be annoying and frustrating to those around us and also to ourselves. Why do people grumble? Well, there's a number of reasons why we grumble. And we have today a group of people in the wilderness who are grumbly. Yes, they're grumbly and they're tumbly, but they are also grumbling like you wouldn't believe. And we're going to take a look at that today and watch and see how God works through this grumbly situation. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 says this, "And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" Grumbly, grumbly, grumbly. Now, the context is we have the children of Israel who were in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord, by his gracious power, brought them out. They saw the signs and the wonders of the Lord with the mighty miracles against the Pharaoh and his people, and God brought them out. And then they came into the desert, and they came across the Red Sea. And it looked like they were in big trouble because the Red Sea was there in front of them, and Pharaoh's army was coming behind. But as we know, God miraculously parted the Red Sea. They went through, but Pharaoh's armies were drowned in the sea, and God's people were rescued miraculously. But then, Exodus 16, it's only been about a month, maybe a month and a half, that they've been wandering in the desert, and they're grumbly. And by the way, just if you read in Exodus 15, just before, God had already provided them with fresh water. They were worried about water, and God had already provided them with water. But now it's like they're goldfish with amnesia. They just forget the mighty power of God. And as we look at this, and we hear the grumbling of these people, I think part of us might say, you know, that's kind of silly. How could they be so grumbly? But we see that their grumble was against Moses and Aaron. They were taking it out on the leaders that God had put in their lives, on Moses and Aaron, and they were grumbling against them. And one of their grumbles involved an exaggeration. Did you catch that in the text? They were being nostalgic about slavery in Egypt. Wow. Oh, that we were back in Egypt around the meat pots. Those were a three-legged bronze item to cook meat in. Oh, that we had this food in Egypt. But if you remember the life of slavery in Egypt, it was not fun. And quite honestly, do you really think the slaves were eating like the Pharaoh? Oh, no, absolutely not. But they were being nostalgic about the quote-unquote good old days, which really weren't that good. And in the middle of that, there was some major drama going on. And I know sometimes we can be drama queens, drama kings, and these people were being so dramatic. Oh, oh, that the Lord would have killed us in the land of Egypt. What? Instead of delivering you from slavery and giving you your freedom? Oh, oh, sob, sob, grumble, 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 grumble. And as we look at this text, we might say, how could you be so stupid, people? Didn't you see the mighty power of God deliver you from the hands of the Egyptians? Didn't you see what God has done? Hello? But then if we take an honest look at ourselves, in the present moment, when we are dealing with certain circumstances and frustrations, have we not also forgotten the mighty power and works of our God? I think it can happen to us as well. In the moment, because we're hangry and we're frustrated, we can forget the mighty power of God, and our focus can be away from Him and upon ourselves and upon what we don't have and what we want. And we also can exaggerate too, right? We talk about the good old days. Oh, back in the good old days. And yeah, sure, there were some good things in the good old days, but remember, there were also some struggles. Each era, each moment is a gift from the Lord, and the good old days weren't maybe as good as we always remember them to be. But God has given us this present moment, and yet we wish, oh, back in the good old days, it was better. And there can also be some drama for us when we're grumbling and we get all dramatic and people have to listen to our grumbles and they think, wow, why are you making such a big deal over this? And it's true, we can grumble over all kinds of things. Some things are kind of small. I mean, how many of you have been frustrated with the construction on Highway 99? I have, and you know, I sit there and I start getting a little frustrated thinking, man, you know, but that's really a first world problem. First world problem, think about it. I mean, there's even a song by Weird Al called First World Problems, but go look it up. Anyway, but we can grumble about all kinds of things that are just really not a big deal. Like, you know, you go on the golf course and you have a bad golf day. And then all of a sudden you're in a bad mood and your spouse is like, what happened? Did somebody die? No, I got a horrible golf score. We can go to a fast food place or a restaurant and somebody messes up our order and we get all upset about it. First world problems. We can you know those moments where you've been grumbly about this or that or the other, something with your coworkers or your boss. And at the end of the day, in the big picture, it's really not a big deal, but we grumble about it. And the truth is, there are big things that we also deal with, right? There are significant struggles. There are people in our life who are dealing with health issues. We are dealing with some significant questions about finances and other things, and we can be frustrated. But the question in those big moments is, where is our focus? Are we going to look to the Lord? Or are we going to just grumble and complain about what we don't have in the moment? I think that's a question for us. Where is my focus? Will I trust that God is going to provide and that He's going to guide me? And you know what I love about our Lord? Is that even though we've been a bunch of grumbly people, God has been gracious to us. Notice, the people of Israel were grumbly, but what did God do? Did He zap them? Did He send them back to Egypt? No. No, He was gracious and He provided for them. Exodus 16, verse 4 tells us, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, 'At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because He has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?' And Moses said, 'When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against Him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord.'" Notice that even in the midst of the grumbling, which Moses says, look, that's against the Lord. The Lord doesn't say, I'll send down fire from heaven. No, He says, I will send down bread from heaven. And the glory of the Lord did indeed appear among the people, and they received the quail, and then they received that miraculous provision of bread, what we also know as manna. And the amazing thing about this manna is it was miraculous provision that was given daily for them. The only day which it did not fall was on the Sabbath, and they were allowed to gather a double portion on the day before. And you know what was amazing? Is as they were gathering their portion, The amount that they gathered was just enough for that day for each person. Every person had what they needed each and every day. Literally, they were given daily bread, daily provision. And when they tried to store up extra, when they tried to stockpile it, you know what happened, right? It went bad. And this was a test. The Lord was saying, look, are you going to trust me for daily bread? Are you going to trust me that each and every day I will provide for you? And he was faithful to them. And we know about all the grumblings that the Israelites had for the next 40 years in the wilderness. But daily and faithfully, God provided for their needs all that time while they were in the desert. And you know when the manna finally stopped? It was once they had reached the promised land, once they had ample food, then and only then did the daily bread from heaven stop falling, but then they were provided for from the land, the promised land. How amazing is our God? Despite the grumblings, he is gracious in his provision. And how about for you and for me? The daily bread which God gives to you and to me despite our grumbling. As it says in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. I love what Luther's catechism says about this. Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. So you see, we have an attitude shift from grumbling to gratitude because of the gracious provision of our Lord. And what is meant? What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. All these different things are a gracious gift from the Lord. And it's amazing how God will provide for you and for me at just the right time, in just the right way. How many of you remember a guy by the name of George Mueller? George Mueller, I've mentioned him before, and I love this story about George Mueller. George Mueller was one who ran orphanages in England, and he was at this particular orphanage that was running out of food. And this was a concerning thing when you have orphans to take care of. And it was the night before he realized that they were running out of food. They had no food left. And he came before the Lord in prayer. He says, Lord, please provide for these orphans. Well, the next morning, the housekeeper had gotten the children ready, and they were all dressed and standing around the breakfast table, but there was no food. George Mueller told them to all sit down, and then he prayed and thanked the Lord for the food that the Lord was going to provide. They waited a little bit, and then there was a knock on the door. George Mueller went over the door, and standing at the door was this man who said, George, I just could not sleep last night. I just could not sleep, and I was tossing and turning, and I had to get up, and I had to bake bread. He was a baker. He said, George, do you need any bread? So the orphans received bread that morning. And then another knock at the door came. Knock, knock, knock. A guy comes to the door, and he's a milkman. And the milkman said, George, I have a bit of a problem. My milk truck broke down not too far from here. The axle's broken, and all this milk is going to spoil if I don't get rid of it. Do you happen to need any milk? And so that morning, those orphans were given what they needed. They were given their daily bread. And God provides for our needs at exactly the right time, in amazing ways, in ways that we might not expect. And I know some of you have also heard of Hudson Taylor, a great missionary to China. And Hudson Taylor was down to his last bag of rice. He was there taking care of a hospital. He had a number of people to take care of, and he only had one bag of rice left. And that bag of rice was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And he was praying and saying, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. We're running out of food. When they had just about run out of rice, Hudson Taylor received a letter in the mail. And this letter was sent 5 months prior from London. Back in the day, you had to have it sent over by ship. So 5 months ago, this letter was sent. Hudson Taylor, at just the right moment, opened this letter, and inside the letter was 50 pounds, which is about $3,000 in our day's money, enough to buy more food. And then this man also said, George, my father recently passed away. I have an inheritance. Would you appreciate regular financial support? All of a sudden, Hudson Taylor, who was down to the last bit of food, received this blessing at just the right time, and God used his people to provide the daily bread, the daily food. And Hudson Taylor is one who, speaking about God's provision, says this. He says, I am taking my children with me, and I notice it is not difficult to remember that they need breakfast in the morning, dinner at midday, and supper at night. Indeed, I could not forget them if I tried. And I find it impossible to think that our Heavenly Father is less tender and mindful of his children than I, a poor earthly father, am of mine. No, he will not forget us. He will not forget us. The one who sent Jesus to you as your bread of life will not forget your needs. In our children's message, we talked about those things which we were grateful for, and one of our kids said, the love of God. And at the end of the day, this is an amazing thing, that our God, despite our grumbling, despite our sin, despite our rebelliousness, despite our absolute unworthiness, would send the most precious gift of all, Jesus, the bread of life for us, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus is the bread of life broken upon the cross for you, so that you would have life, not just temporary life. See, God didn't just provide for your temporal needs, but he provided for your eternal well-being in Jesus Christ, who has forgiven you, who gives you all that you need to support this body and life. And because of this, because of the gracious love of our God shown in Jesus Christ, we know, we can trust that God will provide for us. We can continue to trust that God will give us his gracious provision. Even if he gives you what you need, even when it's not what you want. Even if you wonder sometimes, what is it when God puts something in front of you, but then later on you realize it's exactly what you needed. And may we continue to look to our God who will provide for our needs. And as we remember the graciousness of our God, it can change our attitude from grumbling to gratitude. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.